I wanted to add a thought, an issue to the recent two-part sermon series related to salvation. Wanted to consider the question and the answer to the question of how can someone think they are a Christian, even seem like they're a Christian, but not be one? How can that be? We see that reality in Scripture in a number of places. You might recall we were in Matthew 7 during that little series. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. This is Jesus speaking. So it's not simply Jews who are just saying there's a God or non-Jews. This is those who will actually call Jesus Lord. Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. If we were to jump over, and you can just listen, or if you want to jump around with me, Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, actually we don't have to read that, but Colossians chapter 4, Philippians 24, Philemon 24, a man, Demas, named Demas is mentioned. He's mentioned as a co-worker. And yet, in 2 Timothy, Paul's late letter, late in his life, nearing the end, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he says, for Demas, in love with this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Now, it may be that Demas is currently, at that point, currently went astray, or it's very possible that Demas was not actually a Christian, because what it says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But it went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So there is in Scripture this possibility, clear potential for there to be those who they themselves think they're saved. Jesus says there'll be many on that day who will call Him Lord, but will not enter His kingdom. It's likely that Demas is one of those, and Paul thought he was a fellow worker. John's telling the Christians he's writing to that there are those who went out, but that makes it clear that they're not of us. So it is biblically possible for someone to think they are saved, look saved, and not actually be saved. How can that be? There's two answers that I can think of from Scripture. The first one is that, well, they've got the wrong gospel. They've got the wrong understanding of what makes someone a Christian, and that's why they think they're a Christian, but they're not actually a Christian. In Matthew chapter 7, as they stand before the judgment seat, they will rely upon what they did. That's the wrong gospel. It's a wrong understanding of what makes one acceptable into God's kingdom. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb. So one reason might very well be that they've got the wrong gospel. I fear that that's true in many so-called churches, not just in our country, but in our country and even others. The prosperity, name it and claim it, health, self-gain, your best life now gospel has gone around the world. It appeals to us. It makes sense. I do A, B, and C, and then I get D, E, and F. And there's always some truth to it. God does want what is good for His people. He does bless them. But we can't take the Old Testament promises for Israel and the land and apply that to us today. Just read the epistles. Suffering abounded. Read Hebrews. They lost what they had. It was confiscated. Some were in prison. But it's a false gospel. And people buy into it and think that, oh, I'm a Christian. Mormons will call themselves Christians. People will lump Catholics and Protestants together as Christians. This is a misunderstanding of the gospel. It is possible for someone to be in Catholicism and be a Christian. That is true. But the gospel that is there in Catholicism is not the gospel. Not what Christ proclaimed and brought about. And I suppose it's possible for someone to be somehow involved in Mormonism and in Mormonism and be a Mormon but actually a Christian. But the theology in Mormonism is not the gospel. And it is possible for someone to be in the stadium-sized churches with the guy with the beautiful smile who always gives positive, uplifting messages about a great life now and be actually Christians. But the gospel's not there. So what is more likely is that there are many who think they're a Christian, but they're not a Christian. They've got the wrong gospel. But there's another reason why someone may think they're a Christian. They may be able to say the gospel, claim salvation no other way but by faith in Jesus. Grace alone, faith alone. You know, they can quote doctrine, maybe they can by memory tell you good solid catechisms. The theology's there, the doctrine's there, but they're not actually Christians. How could that be? And the answer is something that we should take very seriously, even if we're Christians. The answer should alarm us and concern us. It's a biblical answer, but it's contrary to what we have in our culture and society. And the answer is that our hearts are not trustworthy. Our hearts are not trustworthy. And yet that is the very message that we are entrenched in. Do you feel like you're so-and-so trapped in a such-and-such body? Well, then be what you feel, what you think. And I know I've said it before, it's not really a joke, but it is a joke. The theme of just about every Disney movie, right, is follow your heart. And when it comes entwined with a moralistic message by the grace of God to a certain degree that works in life only because of the common grace of God that there is such a thing as a conscience. But we are all by nature darkened in our understandings, and our hearts, our perceptions of things, what we value and the judgment calls we make, our hearts are not trustworthy. I started reading a book called Passions of the Heart. And this author, this Christian, says it well, and yet it is strikingly in opposition to what we are hearing constantly and what we tend to think. The heart's chief unsettling characteristic is its capacity for self-deception. It is commonplace for the heart to assume that it is better than it really is. It is customary for the heart to believe its own innocence and to presume the goodness of its own motivations. A self-imposed form of blindness is endemic to the heart because of the effect of original sin. Ever since Adam rebelled, our understanding, our perception, our judgment, our hearts are twisted and flipped. And we cannot trust them. Well-meaning voices can be heard telling you to trust your heart or follow your heart. Words you have likely heard and read since you were a child. The latest societal push towards this dangerous advice asserts that you cannot be truly authentic or genuine until you trust your own heart. And yet that is the complete and utter opposite of what the Maker of heaven and earth and our Creator has revealed to us about our hearts. Proverbs 16:2 says this, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." And I think it's 12:24. I have the proverb memorized, but I always forget. No, wrong location. But I've quoted this many times too. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end leads to death. This is our reality. You wouldn't trust, no offense to the blind, but you would not trust a blind person to lead you through a busy city full of traffic. Even though they may hear really well and perceive things well, they can't see and there's so much going on. And yet we trust our hearts to lead us and direct us in life. Jeremiah 17:9. I would imagine most are familiar with that passage. The heart is deceitful above all things. What did this author, how did this author say it? Because he's getting it from Scripture. The heart's chief unsettling characteristic is its capacity for self-deception. The heart, above all things, is deceitful and desperately sick. Who can understand it? God can. God weighs the heart. God sees the heart. God knows our hearts. And there's not one righteous, not one. No one who understands God. So, very simply put, someone may think they're a Christian because they are self-deceived. They think that they're believing in Jesus, but they're actually trusting in themselves. They think by doing X, Y, and Z, or whatever it may be, that they are right with God and going to enter. It's self-deception. Even though they're hearing the right gospel, and they can state the right gospel. That's all fine and well. Let's assume for a moment no one in here is self-deceived about being a Christian. And we're all truly Christians. We still have the same warning that comes out of this reality. We have to be on guard against self-deception. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We took a little break from 1 Corinthians right now and going through it. It wasn't too long ago, though it feels like a long time ago. It wasn't. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, I went all the way back to Romans. Verse 18, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise." Who's he writing to? To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord's and our, their Lord and ours. Let no one deceive himself. You're probably more familiar with the passages that say, do not be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive you. But here it is. Let no one deceive himself. In chapter 6, it says it again. Verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Maybe by others, but even by yourselves. The heart is sick. Its number one characteristic or ability is deception. And while the Christian is a work in progress, a new creation with the Spirit of God dwelling in him or her, it's a work in progress. Right? You may have an old car you've been working on and it runs, but you might not trust it for that 500-mile trip you want to take. Because you know it needs a bunch of work still. Romans 12, 2. What needs to be transformed? Our minds. They can be now, by a work of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, in the body of Christ. And that must happen. But it needs to keep happening. We've never arrived until Christ arrives. We cannot trust our hearts. So I have the Word of God and I read it every day. What did Satan use when he spoke to Adam and Eve? The truth twisted. What did Satan use when he tempted Jesus? The Word of God misapplied. What is Ephesians full of? Speak the truth to one another. Speaking the truth to one another. That's our final passage. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. What is that? For building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by all of our deceitful thinking in our hearts. It's not what it says, but that is included. We may no longer be children. What do children do? Oh, they follow their passions. That's their default. We may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom a whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that builds itself up in love. Further on, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Yes, we need the Word of God, and we need each other. We must constantly be in the truth, speaking the truth to one another, hearing the truth, knowing one another, and being known, because until Jesus Christ returns and we are transformed, we have hearts that are desperately wicked, deceitful above all else. I was praying with someone a few weeks back, and for some reason, I don't remember if it was related to some of the things we were discussing. As he prayed for me, he prayed that I would not be led astray taken off into bad theology. And when he first prayed that, my immediate thought was, that can't happen. And then the second thought was, oh yes, it can. Seminary is no guarantee. Growing up in a Christian family is no guarantee. Years in the church is no guarantee. Matter of fact, once it's today, yesterday doesn't matter. The question is about today. Are you standing in the truth? Speaking the truth? Hearing the truth? Being spurred on by others? Challenged? Maybe rebuked? Confronted? Encouraged? You need to be. We need to be. We need each other. Why? Because of our hearts. We cannot trust ourselves. That's how someone can think they're a Christian, be going through a bunch of motions, and not actually be a Christian. The heart is that good at deceiving. But we too can be deceived. We can be led astray. Again, 1 Corinthians, a man has his father's wife. And the instruction is to put him out of fellowship for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul may be saved. A Christian can go down some very dark roads, but all the while thinking his or her ways are pure. That should scare us. Unsettling was the word. Unsettling characteristic. That should concern us. But not to inaction, paralysis, crouching in the corner, but to this. To meeting together and being around one another as much as possible. And not to eat donuts, drink coffee, and talk about the weather, though we can do that. But to constantly speak the truth to one another. Questioning everything we hold to be true. Where is that in Scripture? Is our doctrine really biblical? Is our application really based in Scripture? Are we misapplying Scripture, trying to justify what we want to do and sanctify the things that we want to do? We need to be constantly concerned about that, like, to use the analogy there in Ephesians 4, those on a ship. The sun may be shining now, and the sea's calm, but, especially prior to satellites and all the cell phone stuff, one must always be diligent, on a lookout, on guard for those storms. That's the Christian reality. We can be deceived, even if we're truly in Christ. Our hearts, they're a problem. But by the work of the Spirit, Ephesians, Paul's prayer, he's praying for them that according to the riches of His glory, chapter 3, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We have the Word of God, we have each other, we have prayer. We must be engaged constantly. We can never click cruise control when it comes to the heart. And on that note, let's pray. Father, I confess again by way of wanting You to keep me humble and continually aware that I could go south, head off on a theological point in a direction, applicationally, doctrinally, any one of us can. Even with your Spirit dwelling in us, sin dwells in us. It is no longer our master, but it dwells in us. And we can walk by the flesh or by the Spirit. Have mercy, Father, upon each one of us here. Strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. Grant us to comprehend, to both understand and to live in light of your love for us in Christ. Guard us, Father, that we would not be tossed to and fro. Do not let us be complacent, thinking that our ways are pure or right, that our discernment is godly. Keep us humble, teachable, willing to be questioned and willing to question, willing to be encouraged and willing to encourage, always aware that we need that. If we are a work in progress until Christ returns, then at any given time there is always something we could find out about ourselves. Our thinking, our desires, our perception that is off. Father, be gentle. Be consistent. To our great joy and blessing that we would know and live Christ. And Father, to your glory, that we would reflect your character, who you are, more and more and more, with each thought, desire, word, and deed. That we would consistently proclaim forgiveness in Christ with our lips and our lives. In Jesus' name.